Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
You've probably just been shitting your pants.
Oh, it's just terrifying.
Ah, I'm afraid. Yeah, but that'll keep your nuts dry. Jim, what did you say when you first saw this this picture of the Great One?
I was singing about doing them.
Come on, it'll be fun.
Sorry, oh Great One. No disrespect.
What's the worst thing you can hear from a woman after you having, or from a woman after you've had sex with Wayne Gretzky? I'm not Wayne Gretzky. Oh, did I f*** that joke up? I know you don't eat the pig alive.
Kill me. I'm fat. You wait for me.
How long is this?
Hurry it up! Wrap it up!
I gave Pluto a hug. He smelled clean.
One of the horses pooped right on Main Street, USA.
He's in the goofy costume, but the helmet's off.
And that's how people become furries.
Trust me.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Hey, it's another podcast!
Woo!
Ow! That's another podcast. We can just sit here forever.
Part two of the Jay and Dan podcast, episode number 10 now, brought to you by Tito's Vodka.
Just mention it on Twitter and expect a case on your doorstep.
Mike Pereira joined us in part one, mentioned how he got 12 bottles of Tito's Vodka sent to his house. We love Tito's Vodka.
Big fans of Tito's. Love to drink it.
And big fans of Trader Joe's Applewood Smoked Bacon.
And Trader Joe's Trail Mix. Engineer Jim, you've introduced us to that. That pieces of chocolate in Trail Mix.
It's delectable.
Oh, man, that's good. I never even thought about that.
Yeah, it's really good.
You know what we should do? We should call Taggart.
And good
call...
for you.
Let's get to Mike's stories first.
Can we call Taggart first? Because I feel like we've kept... And then we'll get to Mike's stories. And I'm sorry, Mike. You've taken a lot of abuse in the first podcast.
Well,
I feel like it just keeps piling on. I could
use some of that Tito's vodka after this.
I feel so bad because I heard that when he was reading too.
I noticed it as well.
I can't point out that he doesn't know how to read.
Well, I know how to read.
He knows how to read. It's just he can't read well. He can't read good. It's like a Zoolander.
This is a lot of pressure for us.
Yeah, that's true. It's a lot of pressure.
We're not professional readers.
And I just got a text from my wife that our package from Spanky's, the bar in my hometown of Peterborough, Ontario, bunch of T-shirts and stuff, and a Canadian care package just arrived, but it arrived too late, obviously, for this podcast. But that'll be on the next one.
In 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks.
The next.
Hopefully they didn't send bags of milk. Because did you guys know that? Our milk comes in bags.
I'm actually familiar of, I'm a huge fan of the Basketball Jones podcast. Obviously, some guys from Canada that just actually moved down to the States.
Yes. One of them who used to work as a writer on our show.
Tass Mellis.
Tassos.
And he and his wife opened Moo Milk Bar in Toronto. It's a milk bar, and they have just tons of different flavors of milk. Like
who did this?
Tass.
Tassos
is married?
Yeah. You guys should listen to their podcast some more.
But wait. I didn't know he opened a milk bar.
Moo Milk Bar in Toronto. So your Canadian followers should definitely go check it out. But and they always talked about, because I was always thrown for a loop because they have one guy from Chicago, Trey Kirby, that's on the podcast. And he was so thrown off by bags of milk, which I didn't even understand what they were talking about for the longest time. So
congratulations to the Basketball Jones, now known as the Starters.
The Starters.
They're going to NBA TV, going to do a podcast. They're going to be on. That is awesome news. Bunch of great guys.
Great success story.
Yes.
Great.
Well, I don't know
Canadian
if they're all great guys. We know Tass.
Oh, J.E. Skeets.
Yeah. J.E. Skeets, Trey Kirby.
Yeah.
Lee Ellis.
He's a good dude. Yeah. No, they're all good guys.
Are they moving to the States or are they going to do it from Canada?
They've moved to Atlanta a while ago. They've been down there for a while. They're living.
So what happens to Moo Milk Bar?
I guess we'll find out once they get the podcast
maybe they'll
up and going again.
Maybe they'll do a chain of milk bars.
That would be great. The Moo Milk Bar is on Instagram. I know that.
I'm looking it up here.
Okay, can we call Taggart? Or is he on the line?
Oh, they got pies.
Oh yeah, let's call
him. Tass worked with us at TSN, and last time I saw him, he had a severely broken leg.
That's right.
The bone came through the skin
that's
and all
right,
that.
That's right. I forgot
And then he
about
never
that.
Came back from that injury, and then he started
and
doing
then he
that.
Left and went to a much more successful venture with the basketball
Well, it took them some time. Like, they were doing it from Tass's condo and stuff, and then they just kept doing it. And they got a great following, and just awesome news. Look at this. Oh, half dozen cookies, $10 at the Moo Milk Bar. Gift baskets available. Looks very legit.
Okay, well, yeah, it's legit. It's not like fake. It's a real operation.
I don't think if my spouse sold me on a Moo Milk Bar, I'd be like, "Are you nuts?"
Yeah, you would lose patience. She would try to explain the business to you, and you'd be like, "No, you couldn't explain it to me in one sentence. I have no patience for this business idea."
They have banana chocolate milk and like mint flavored milk. They got it all.
Oh, yeah. That sounds
well. The hip thing. I've been to restaurants where the chefs create like Fruit Loops milk and stuff like that. And they bring it out for dessert.
Cereal milk, yeah. And Momofuku milk bars, they do that. Toolsy, what do you think of my legs? Just your thoughts. Do you know, does this happen to you guys, like the synthetic socks? Like, I have no hair on my...
I wear ankle socks.
Yeah.
At all times.
No hair on my legs anymore.
I used to get that with rubber boots on the farm. Rubber boots would wear them off.
If you note it, like, most guys have less hair on the outside of the legs than the inside, because that's like where your jeans or your pants rub.
Yeah, exactly. Yo, what's going on there?
I got a hair everywhere. How do you like those socks?
I see it.
Is that GP?
Oh, crap.
Do we have Taggart on? Taggart, what's going on?
For this podcast.
Hey, guys, how are
you? We're only half an hour late. More like 45 minutes? How late are we?
Are we late?
Yeah, it's all right. It's okay. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, man. Again, we're really letting you down here. The problem is, like, before you would just be, like, one studio over, and then we'd just yell at you to come in, and now we're trying to call you
so,
from a different Taggart. Area code.
It's not going to be like a Bill Needle thing now, is it?
Was that Dave Thomas?
Yeah.
So, Taggart, you're on an iPhone now? What? I thought we were BlackBerry buddies.
Well, we weren't. I was, and then you weren't. I know you've been gone for a while, haven't you?
I've still got a BlackBerry.
Toolsy's the only person in North America who's still on a BlackBerry.
So here's
You bumped me off BBM, then.
No, because I got a different one. I got a different one. I don't have a single person on BBM. Oh, no, I got two people. My old neighbor.
Well, then what's the point?
Yeah, hey, seriously. What is the point?
Here's the thing with BlackBerry now. I've now reached the point. If I click on something, an article that I see on Twitter, I have to, before I click on it, do I have 5 minutes to wait for this to open up on the BlackBerry browser?
Yes. I was right there with you, and I am through, and I am on this thing now, and it is a full-on Judy Garland rocking.
Yeah, you're like loving it, right? Like, it's like a whole new world. Can you convince Toolsy to, like... I mean, and this is tough for us because as Canadians, we wanted BlackBerry to succeed, but it's just not going to happen. So we all need to move on. It's over. It's done.
I had Jim Balsillie on my BBM a couple years ago. I was like, yes, support the cause. We were buddies. I'd play in his golf tournament. And then he was gone off of BBM.
He doesn't even have one now.
That was a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago now.
Toolsy,
he's been gone for so long. He jumped ship a long time ago.
You don't have to get like an Apple. You could get like a Samsung or an HTC.
It's so nice.
You take a picture. You take a picture, and it doesn't turn off afterwards.
Mine really starts to heat up, and I think it may have made me sterile.
Well, that's okay. You don't want to have any more kids anyway.
Nah, we're all good.
Yeah. Have you had a vasectomy yet, Toolsy?
No, hell no.
Are you going to get that done?
I want to stay potent.
Yeah? Just in case wife number two comes around. Impregnate her.
What happens when you get a vasectomy? Does that affect the look of your load?
That's what I want to know. Has anyone here had one?
Is it clear again, like when you're 10?
That's what I want to know. Or does it just like a little flag come out of your penis that says bang?
But here's the thing. Vasectomies, they like reverse themselves sometimes, so you're never 100%.
Has anybody had one? Anybody in the room?
No one in the room's had one.
No.
No.
I want
Never
to know
will.
How this affects like the compression or the output or the color.
I think I just feel like less of a man knowing I couldn't impregnate anyone.
Really?
Yes.
Be great. Then you can masturbate all over your house all day. Never have to worry about impregnating the dinner table or the computer or...
Think you can impregnate
or the throw pillows or
I don't think you can impregnate a pillow. You've probably tried, though.
Oh, I have tried. Believe me, I've tried several times today.
I've never understood that. People like can have sex with blankets and stuff. Lay down and rub on the blanket. And
that's
get
how
off.
Some yeah. guys masturbate. Like they'll.
Yeah, I remember there was this percussionist guy I used to know named Armando, and he was proud of the fact that he would just fold a sheet over and he was good to go.
That's so weird to me.
Like, yeah.
Could he have relations with humans?
He preferred the sheet.
I've got my date tonight in this bay blanket.
Well, he would get all banged up and get crazy in that sense of like, who cares? I know I'll never get anything here. Like you jump on the bed naked to bug the girls. And next thing you know, he's like too banged up, and then he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna hit the sheets," and you know, it's hitting the sheets means for Armando.
Armando's hitting the sheets again. Those lucky yeah. him.
Those percussionists.
I just need a fold.
Hey, is it fall weather up in that Toronto?
Yeah, it's a little bit. Well, it was chilly for a day, but then it got warm again. I guess with one of the effects of this modern global warming, we will be this will be kind of like spring temperatures all winter soon enough. But it's nice right now till I think we're up in the 20s all week.
And are you watching your Leafs? Are your Leafs in action right now?
Well, not right now. I'm talking to you guys, but they are in action. They're playing Colorado right now.
Oh,
yeah. Patty
Waugh. Patty Waugh.
You guys know that, don't you have to know these things?
Well, we're in a studio without any television set, so I thought maybe you were talking to us and you had it in the background or something.
I thought you'd have like you should have a couple like four or five sets behind you with a scroll line.
Oh no, we got out of a closet. Now we're in engineer Jim's.
I see where you are, but I'm saying with the times of the Fox Sports. You know, they like to tell you what's going on the event side of things.
Well, you'll be happy, Taggart. We got on the Canadian Wall of Fame, we put up the great one, Wayne Gretzky, this week.
Nice.
Oh, it's classic Wayne Gretzky, too. And, Taggart, can you send us a signed Our Lady Peace photo?
Absolutely, for sure.
Yeah, we got to get you
like,
up here.
But we have all these people like in the early days of their career, so we need you guys when you're just young and spry and ready to cause havoc.
Okay, but there'll be only like two of the guys that are in the band. Nobody likes to sign a photo of somebody else.
That's a good point. Okay, maybe not that early.
Do people bring photos and they're like, that's not me?
No, not at all. They sign over the face.
That's amazing. Hey, you're going to be in Vegas pretty soon. You guys are going to be playing in Vegas pretty
soon. Yeah, we're doing the Fremont Street. We're doing a show there on the 18th or the 19th, I believe. Yeah, the 19th. It's going to be fun.
Oh, man, I wish we could go. That's going to be a good time. Do you have some favorite haunts that you like to go to when you hit Sin City, Taggart?
Well, I kind of had ups and downs. There was times when I used to drink, I would have fun there. But now that when I went there as a young kid and didn't drink, I didn't have that much fun. And then I spent money a lot, gambled too much. I remember one time losing like $4,500 in a weekend, just thanks to Creed backing out of shows. We had to stay around for 4 days.
Creed!
Creed!
The dude would back play blackjack all day.
Who was Scott Stapp?
Scott Stapp being all banged up.
What was Creed's big song?
With Homes Wide Open.
Song, yeah, oh, yeah. The Higher. Yeah, they were so big.
Yeah, they were monstrously huge.
They were the soundtrack of Tiger Woods' career.
Engineer Jim liked that one.
They were. Like all their hits, and he was like winning every time they were having a hit.
With arms wide open.
I can almost swear that was the theme of his 2000 year.
Tiger is the master champ.
Yeah. Sleeping with a thousand women.
Oh, there's a Waffle House waitress. Tiger's banging her in a Motel 6 with arms wide open.
Make sure you don't wear your tampon.
What? Wow.
oh hear a couple of quick Ronnies?
Yeah, how did you how did you take that song there?
Get the tampon out. Let me pull the string now.
Don't you remember the Vanity Fair article, guys?
Yeah.
I really have to take it out.
Just wait, guys. Creed was nominated for a Grammy for that song.
As they should have.
They played Tiger Jam.
And they won Best Rock Song. They won a Grammy for that.
There you go.
Oh, my goodness.
And then Scott Stapp sold it for crack.
Oh, that guy. So weren't they kind of a Christian band? And then he but it was secretly that he was just going nuts with the drugs, right? And then he fell apart.
That guy's like a wrecking ball, full blown.
Wow.
Yeah. He's like a reinventing the wheel of how banged up you can get. Did you ever see that the poker show? Him on that poker at night with the celebrities? Look that up on YouTube.
He did that?
He's laughing.
Is he just destroyed in it?
Oh, you have to see it. Yeah.
Stapp. Oh, my God.
Sorry, I was blowing my nose. What happened to Stapp?
We got to find
him. He's all banged up playing poker, and the guy from the Sopranos is working him up.
Patrick just brought up a picture of Creed shirtless.
All the entire band is shirtless.
Okay, guys, you're soft for this.
Are you guys sure? I didn't really do any push-ups today.
Shirts and skin.
No, we're in.
We're skin.
Last night. I'm going to stand in the back.
Dagger, did Rain ever try to pull that with you guys? All right, guys, shirts off.
I don't know, man. We never got to that level.
Okay, sorry. Let's see. You got a couple of Ronnie
yeah.
stories.
a quick one. Like early when I was about 2 or 3 years old, a good explanation of a daily occurrence of anger. We were the family was walking, me and my sister and brothers. All along the street, and, you know, a nice family walk, and I'm a baby for crying out loud. And my sister retold the tale for me because it's, you know, traumatic for her. I guess she was about 8 or 9 at the time. And we're walking along, and there's a guy raking his lawn all, you know, normal, and he's happy, and he looks over, and he sees that we're walking, taking a walk, and he looks, and he smiles, and my dad looks at him and he goes, "What the f are you looking at?" Just straight up.
I can't bring that.
That's all that happened. That's amazing that he would do that though with you guys.
Yeah,
family.
That's exactly what he said. He's like, "What the f are you looking at?" to the guy, like as opposed to like, "Hello."
He's like the Grant Balfour of neighborhood dads.
Yeah, and another time, my cousin reminded me of this story. My cousin came up for like a long weekend in the summertime once, and my dad was pissed off about something, and Friday afternoon when my cousin came over, my dad came home in a real bad huff and just went right to this position in this couch, like sitting, and my mom like went to us and just said, "Don't talk to Dad, don't talk to him." And we knew already, but Elliot, you know, obviously didn't have any idea, my cousin, of what the deal was. And he ended up sitting there all that night, and then the next day, and then all that night, and then, like, that next whole day, and then all, like, sitting on this couch, steaming. And, like, maybe, I don't know, like, staying awake, seemingly, all night for, like, 4 days, for this whole weekend. And I don't know if he went up and, like, got up for, like, a half hour at night to eat something, but it was, like, just a zen rage for about 4 or 5 days straight.
So how did it end?
Where was he peeing
well,
and pooping?
Well, I think Tuesday morning or whatever, but when it's time to go back to work, he just got off the couch and went to work. And then he, like, got back on the couch again when he came home that night.
What was he mad
about?
It
lasted a couple more days.
Wow.
Do you know what happened? Like, why was he so mad?
I don't know. I'm just assuming something set him off at work, or maybe somebody, you know, he always had, he was happy-go-lucky at work and everything, but something, it could have been he was trying to get a position, or he was working at the Sears in Rexdale in the maintenance department, so maybe he was trying to get up a bit, you know what I'm saying?
Did I ever tell you guys a story about my grandfather at work? He worked at the GE in Peterborough.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you the story about when someone touched his hat? He said,
touched his hat.
He said, you never touch, his last name's Croak, you never touch a Croak's hat or his hair. So some guy came around, grabbed the hat off his head.
Like Adrian Beltre.
He chased him down and kicked the living shit out of the guy at work.
What?
I've heard about that type of a person before. Like, don't touch my hat. And, like, you do not want to touch that.
And he tells us that story all the time. He goes, yeah, he learned his lesson. You don't touch my hat.
At work.
Yes.
And then just started working again.
Yes.
All right, guys, back to it. Let's keep making widgets.
All black and blue back at it.
Because you don't touch her hat or hair. Then he tells the story, that story. I'm like, okay.
Back in the day when men were men, eh? There's no lawsuit.
But isn't Beltre the one that Andrus is always trying to grab?
Elvis always.
Andrus is always trying to grab his hair. I'm always like, at one point, Beltre's going to kill him. Like, really kill him in the dugout. Because he jokes about it, but you can just tell there's genuine rage in his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
For sure, man. Yeah. Remember, there was a loose cannon that played for Cleveland back in the Albert Bell. Remember him?
Bell, sure.
He threw a ball at someone in the stands.
it was
like he launched it at them. He didn't lob it up to them. He threw it like a fastball into someone's chest.
A friend of mine was in a gym with him and saw him working out, and somebody came up to him and said, remembered his old, like his real name. And it's not Albert, it's some other really weird name. And he like threw a weight at the guy.
Wow.
Oh, Tagger.
Tagger, you're going to like who we have on after you.
Who?
We did a pre-taped interview with Graham DeLette.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
What a stud he was!
Yeah.
at the President's Cup.
Oh, he's been great all year. He was he was fantastic.
Nice. He's an amazing player. Yeah, he's probably. I'm hoping he's going to do well next year. He's shaping up to be one of our definite stalwarts.
Albert Bell. Stuff. His full name is Albert Jawan Joey Bell.
Yeah, Joey Bell. Yeah.
Someone said, hey, Joey.
That's right. Didn't
like
he grow up as Joey Bell or something, and then he changed it? It was something like that. That's right, Joey Bell. I forgot about that.
Doesn't have the same ring.
No, it really doesn't. We're all...
Oh, man.
We're all coughing and hacking.
Well,
we're
Tagger,
sick.
Thanks for coming on, bud.
Thank you, guys. It's a blast, as always.
All right, my friend.
Soon, fellas.
We'll talk to you soon.
Bye-bye,
buddy.
That's Jeremy Taggart on his new iPhone, new technology entering the podcast.
I've got to pee. I've never done this before, but I got to go for a bathroom break. I'll be right back.
You had a YouTube clip that you wanted to play. Are we allowed to play it without Jay here, or he wanted to comment on it?
We should probably wait until you're back.
We're going to play it, though.
Yeah.
Shouldn't Mike tell his story while I'm gone?
Oh, yeah, Mike, you can tell your story while Jay... Yeah, can we play some...
He went the wrong way.
Some interlude music while... JP's?
Yeah, bathroom music.
Sure.
Okay, Mike, you aren't reading this story, right?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
This is all off memory.
Okay.
So, just another bathroom tale from Fox.
Oh, perfect,
Fox.
Perfect, yes.
Yeah. So, a few things were going on here, but I went to the bathroom over by Moe's there, and
By the way, I would love to get that neon sign that is in a stupid spot. No one ever sees it. It's never lit up. It's a great Moe's eatery sign.
Get it in here?
No, I just love it for my home.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
For the man cave. So I walk in the bathroom. First thing going on, there's a guy on the toilet going number two, taking a shit, and he's on his phone, talking on his phone.
Whoa. You can't do that.
On speakerphone.
What?
Yeah, not only was he talking on the phone, he's on speakerphone. And the guy that he was talking to had no problem talking back to him. They were joking. In fact, he was his bookie, and he was placing bets for the college football games on Saturday.
Okay. Did the bookie know the guy was...
Definitely. Because to just make it better, you could hear the toilet paper. He kept just pulling rolls of toilet paper off the roll. And then... we have the automated toilets there in the bathroom in Fox, and it kept going off. So, like, every 10 seconds, it would flush. You would hear him pull more toilet paper. Then he's going, UCLA for 200. Flush, more toilet paper. Michigan for 400. No problem there between either party.
Okay, first off, if you're having a conversation on the phone with someone while in the stall, wouldn't you make it discreet? And if you're having an illegal conversation with someone,
right,
on work time, would you not have it more discreetly? Wouldn't you be like, hey,
definitely not in the bathroom.
Put 200 on USC and then.
Hi.
So Mike's story is he was in the washroom by Moe's, and some guy was taking a crunch.
And he's on the phone.
He's on the speakerphone placing bets to his bookie while taking a dump.
That's all right. That's efficient.
No, but.
Getting two things done at once there. No, you're not happy. Toolsy, you're offended by this.
Yeah, you shouldn't be doing illegal things on the Fox Company dime.
Well, that's true.
And I definitely went and took UCLA last weekend.
Did you just pee in your pants? Because that washroom's not close.
No, I ran over there. It was pretty good, eh? I got back pretty quick.
Now I got to pee. I could probably just go in here.
Yeah. Why don't you fill that bottle up?
Well.
You all right?
Okay. Let's get to Crowd Goes Wild. They had a special guest. They have a special guest. Okay. Do they introduce the guest? Have you listened to this?
I've moved past that so you can, because there was a little bit of space at the front, so you can do your introduction.
Okay, so Russell Peters, a Canadian comic legend from Canada, was on Crowd Goes Wild. Mm-hmm. Katie Nolan, we said, could you do a little interview for the podcast for us? We have not heard this.
I sent her a couple of questions, so we'll see if she uses them.
Okay.
She did her best to steer the conversation in the right direction.
Okay.
But that she got him to start talking Canada.
Okay, so, great.
Here we go. It's not playing.
September to March when we shot the special.
Did you just out yourself as a hockey fan, made it 24/7?
No, I meant the boxing one.
Damn it.
Boom, 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 boom.
You're Canadian.
I am Canadian, but I hung around the blacks.
Wait, finally something that can call Trevor
the Black. Did I just break news to you? What? I thought I was a blessed white guy.
Before we came on air, there was some pretty shocking conversation going on, but I didn't expect you to bring it to the table right now.
Yeah, well, I didn't say words.
Russell, this special's in front of 20,000 fans. Now,
actually 16, but 20 sounds better.
So 20 sounds better.
20.
I do comedy in front of 42 people, half of which have a Groupon ticket.
Yep.
But I also know...
I've been on those gigs with you.
I also know you started in the comedy clubs. You started in the small venues. What is it like to perform? It must be totally different to perform in front of 20,000 people.
It's up to you to set up the room how you want it to be. So I'll take an arena and I'll add cameras to the front. So if I talk to somebody in the front row, they're on the screens behind me. So everybody's in on the joke. Yep. There's nothing worse than being at a show and they're like, you're talking to somebody, like, who's he talking to? Who's he talking? But if you can all see him, then everybody's in on the joke. That's the deal with comedy. Make sure everybody's in on the joke.
You know, I had asked Costa earlier, we were talking about you, and I was like, you know, he was telling us how much, you know, how successful you were. And the first thing I thought was, why isn't he doing television? Why is he doing a sitcom? Like, what is that? Why not?
You know, it's like high school, the entertainment business. If you're not in with the popular kids, you're not in with the popular kids.
He told me just because you didn't want to.
I'd love to.
Oh, okay.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Well, let's talk after this.
Well, you know what I am? I'm soccer.
Yeah, you're
I'm huge around the world.
I want to ask you about traveling around the world, performing around the world, because you saw any Aussie Rules football or cricket?
I watched Aussie Rules football when I was there.
All right.
That is some violent stuff. That makes American football look kind of, you know. You know what I'm saying?
Why are you looking at me? Did you play football?
You're a football player.
Am I just in his line?
You played football.
I'm going to lean back. Funny.
Hold on. I'm going to lean back.
Hey, Georgie.
I know.
That's it?
Oh, so she didn't ask my questions at all.
She didn't have a chance. She did her best.
She failed.
She tried.
Katie Nolan failed.
We wanted her to do a separate segment that wasn't show related.
Yeah.
And she didn't do it.
And she let us down big time.
I will say... next time we will effort giving you a little more heads up, Katie.
Yeah. Yeah, sure, Katie. Yeah.
We did. We gave her 24 hours notice.
24 hours is plenty of time.
What
for
else
Katie.
Is she going to, how much more notice does she need?
In her defense, she's sick this week.
Oh, I'm sick. I can't ask two questions.
Couldn't she gone to the green room and said, hey, I've got a recorder. I've got some questions.
Hey, Russell, come to the green room. I've got some questions for you.
Just kidding, Katie.
I'm
going to really.
Fold over a blanket, and you're going to put your penis in it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what his schedule was like. I doubt he may have just gotten there, done the appearance.
Hey, I'm Russell Peters. I can't possibly stay for two more questions. I've got to go. I'm from Brampton.
He's going to come on this show, right?
I hope so.
Okay. And then, Jay, you had a YouTube clip you wanted to play.
Did I? Yeah. The one that you asked whether or not we, like, is this too far?
Oh, all right, yeah. I think Toolsy will like this one.
Yo.
It's definitely not too far.
Okay, right. So this is a New Zealand commercial that was banned.
Ooh.
Okay. The Kiwis. They're dirty.
If you're like me, you find it very hard to keep your dick dry. I left my dick unprotected, and it was warped out of shape in no time. I could barely recognize my own dick. Imagine that. Then I discovered Schaefer's New Zealand-style dick sealant. The best way to take care of your dick in three easy steps. First, wash your dick with soap and water. Then, wait for your dick to dry. Once your dick is clean and dry, paint your dick with Schaefer's dick sealant. I used to be too embarrassed to invite people over to see my dick. But now, my dick's the talk of the town. I even have pictures of my dick. Check out that dick. I want to send this to my secretary. Barbara always loves to receive my dick pics. After all, summertime is all about spending time on your dick. I'll often have 20 to 30 people on my dick at once. That can really wear your dick out, causing dick splinters and discoloration. But with Schaefer's dick sealant, my dick stays a nice golden brown colour. Who wouldn't want a golden dick? I used to never let children anywhere near my dick. My dick was too dangerous for cods to play on. But it seems like every cod in the neighbourhood's been on my dick this summer, and they've all had a good time. My dick's over 70 years old, but it looks brand new. That's part of the reason all my neighbours are jealous of my dick. Wasn't that right, Jim?
Yes, you've got a nice dick, okay?
His wife is always on my dick, begging me to know the secret of my perfect dick. If you like Schaefer's dick sealant, check out Schaefer's New Zealand style cock. I had a huge hole in my dick, but I fixed it by jamming some cock in it. You'd be surprised how many things you can fix by jamming cock into them. Have an extra large hole in your dick? Try Schaefer's African style cock. Just go to your local home improvement store and ask for the big black cock. Schaefer's New Zealand style dick sealant. Don't put it on your penis.
Oh.
There's also a...
Hi.
I've got a question about my dick. Schaefer's New Zealand style... Hey, get that squirrel off my dick. He knows he's not allowed to come on my dick.
That was good. I don't know what's going on with my nasal passages. I can barely breathe.
Yeah, you're sick. Can we get just a quick story from Jim before we wrap up?
Well, we got to get to Graham Dillette.
Oh, we're going to get to Graham then, Jim? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting about Graham. That happens.
So this is a pre-taped interview. Yeah. This happened at the very beginning of podcast number one in this two-part series. I was a bit late, and I was wearing a different shirt.
Yeah, you strolled in. Oh, hey, everyone, now we can start. Oh, now the whole thing can begin. I was just at sex.
So let's get to that interview.
One. So this is a special portion of the podcast, the Jay and Dan podcast, because we've been wanting to have this guy on forever. Oh, and look who just showed up at the last second. Dan O'Toole. I was about to do my interview with Graham Dillette all by myself, and O'Toole just strolls in with a bag full of socks from Saks Fifth Avenue. So sorry about that, Graham. Sorry about his tardiness.
Well, at least he shops in nice places.
Well, I don't really shop there. Work pays for me to shop there.
Well, you guys do look pretty good on TV, I'll tell you that.
Thanks, Graham. Now, where are you right now? Where are you at right now? Where are we talking to you?
I'm in Boise, Idaho.
And so that's your is that your home most of the year?
Yeah, we're on the road, 30 weeks a year, and then we have a little condo down in Scottsdale. We kind of spend the winters down there, but yeah, Boise is what we call home now.
Give us a sneak peek of what Boise's like.
It's a sneaky town, to be honest. It's super clean. It's a good size college town. The people are friendly. It's a nice little American city.
And you went to Boise State, and so are you a fan of the Broncos? Do you go to a lot of games?
Yeah, absolutely, man. I'm a huge college football guy now. When I first got to the U.S., I didn't really understand everything about it, right? But as soon as I got down here, I just fell in love with the college football and the rivalries and all that kind of stuff, and there's so much pride in it now, and it's cool.
But you're still a Riders fan at heart.
Yeah, there's still a little bit of green and black in me, bud.
Now, what about, are you going to make it back for the Grey Cup this year, Graham?
You know what? I was actually just kind of talking with one of my buddies about that, and if it works in the schedule, I think we might try to get back there, yeah.
That would be pretty fun. We might be there, too, so that means we can all hang out at McNally's. Is that the pub we went to, Toolsy?
It's all a bit of a blur. I think a lot of people can say that whenever you visit Regina, it all becomes a bit of a blur.
Absolutely.
So let's talk about your first year. You're coming right off the President's Cup. Tell us about that experience. You guys didn't win, but you were very impressive in that event, and it must have been pretty fun being at that event.
Just to get to the President's Cup, that is unreal.
Yeah, it was really an unbelievable week. I mean, without question, the funnest week of my life. It would have definitely been much more enjoyable if we had won, that's for sure. But I mean, the bonds and everything that we made with some of the boys, I mean, it was cool to be on a team again because it basically had been, you know, since I played hockey when I was 17, 18 years old, was the last time that I was really, felt like I was really part of a team like that. And, I mean, it was pretty cool. I mean, you make putts and you chip in and stuff like that, and it's almost like you have a license to just go bananas just for, you know, 15 seconds, where you can't really do that in a regular PGA Tour event unless you're like right in contention. So it was a lot of fun.
Did you encounter the squirrel that Davis Love III rescued on the course and turned into the mascot of the whole event?
Yeah, I did actually see it. Davis had it on his shoulder when me and Jason showed up a little bit before the rest of our team there one morning. Jason was kind of petting it while it was on Davis' shoulder, but I didn't want to pet that thing, man. It's basically a rat with a fluffy tail. So
exactly. And it's a wild animal. I can't believe it because when I was taught as a child, if a wild animal approaches you, it probably has rabies.
Yeah, I mean, I was staying away. And the funny thing, we were talking to Davis and Jay said, and Jason Day is like, well, what are you guys feeding it? And he's like, well, Pedialyte. He likes I can't even remember what flavor he said that he liked, but yeah, I thought that was a little bizarre.
Did someone bring the thing home with them?
I think they eventually let it go back into the wild, yeah, after they nurtured it. And
maybe they offered it to the golf gods for a victory.
Maybe. I mean, you know what, man? They played unbelievable golf, and there's not one guy in our locker room that was hanging their head because, you know, we gave it everything we had, and, you know, we kind of made them tighten up a little bit and made them think about it there on Sunday afternoon in the singles matches, and that's basically all we can ask for because they earned it. They played some unbelievable golf today last week.
And then just before, not long before that, you were taking on Graham McDowell on the East Coast. Where were you on the East Coast? You had a little matchup, and you tweeted about the course out there.
Yeah, we were up in Cape Breton, which there's probably not many people in L.A. that know where that is, but, you know, about as far east as you can almost get in North America at a place called Cabot Links. Unbelievable new golf course. Looks like it's been there for 100 years, and it's only about a year old, and, I mean, you wouldn't know that you're not in Scotland or Ireland. It's just an unreal piece of property, and we had a good time. That's like, I feel like I'm losing everything. He beat me there, too, but we had a good time.
Now, Graham, we're Canadian. We can hold our own. But being with the international squad for a week, were you fearful of your life and your liver?
No, we had a really good time, I'll tell you that, on Sunday night. And like I said, I can't imagine how much fun it would have been if we would have won because the boys were going pretty hard.
Now, you had an incredible year, 8th in the FedEx Cup, 32nd in the World Golf Rankings, and you made more than $2.6 million this year, and that is going to buy you a lot of chicken at the Weyburn KFC buffet. Have you thought about how you're going to spend that money?
Well, I have a wife, so
so that's gone.
To spend about half of it, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I didn't even know that all KFCs weren't full buffets. I thought that was just kind of a regular thing until I went to Regina and found out that you had to, you know, buy pieces of chicken separately. I didn't think that was
so you just call you're like, what is this?
How often do you get back to Weyburn?
You know, I've done a charity event there the last couple summers, but now all my family lives up in the Saskatoon area, so when I do go back to Saskatchewan, I usually head up to Saskatoon. Just because, you know, I don't get up there very often, and when I do, you know, the main thing is to see my family. So,
and are you getting, you know, because you're such a, I mean, everyone loves you so much in the 306. Brad Wall, he tweets about you more than he tweets about provincial affairs.
Do you feel the pressure, or do you feel the pride that Saskatchewanites have for you and all the success that you've had?
Yeah, and I mean, it's not even just in Saskatchewan, but all across Canada. I mean, I've just got so much support. I don't feel it as pressure as much as just support. And, you know, there's, you know, whether it be on Twitter or text blowing up my phone and stuff like that, but it's just really cool to have the support, you know, from a guy like Brad, who's, you know, our premier of the province, to, you know, my buddies and my family and people that I, you know, have never met before, but, you know, they feel like they're connecting with me, and it's just an unbelievable, you know, it's been a whirlwind couple of years here.
Jay ran through your stats. Did you have any inclination that you would make the leap that you did this year? Because really, you became a star on the tour.
You know, like, I always believed it in myself, I guess. The one thing that was kind of lacking in my game was my short game. I've been working really hard on that in the last couple of years with my short game coach, Gabriel Yetstedt. He used to play on tour, and he's got an unbelievable short game. And I feel like kind of the process, or the last 2 years has been a process trying to learn, you know, the technique is one thing, but then trusting in competition is what I was kind of struggling with last year. And then this year I just kind of started feeling a lot more comfortable and believing in myself a little bit more. And once you're kind of knocking on the door and getting kind of respect from some of the best players in the world, it helps your confidence, and then things just kind of start to snowball.
Who did you admire growing up, Graham, when you were starting out?
Well, I mean, I was a diehard Mike Weir fan, there's no question. And I mean, if it wasn't for him, I don't know if I'd be where I am right now. Like, I remember when he won the Masters in 2003, and that's what I wanted to do. And I was like, I'm going to play in the Masters and this and that, and next year I will be for the first time. And it's just, it's crazy, man.
That is nuts. You get to play in the Masters.
Yeah.
Does it hit you, though, when you play in these events? You played in your first major this year, you were over. Like, when you're playing in the British Open, do you ever think, holy crap, I'm teeing off at the British Open. What the hell's happening here?
Yeah, it was unreal. And, I mean, I played on Saturday with Ernie at the Open, and it was just so cool. I mean, and one of my buddies tweeted me after the round, and I played poorly. I shot, like, 78 or something like that. And he tweeted me, he's like, hey, bud, you just played on Saturday at the Open Championship at Muirfield with Ernie. I'll let that sink in. And I was like, holy, yeah, like, that was pretty cool. So even though I didn't play my best, I was able to make the cut and just, you know, just kind of getting my feet wet more than anything and see what it's like in the majors, and especially, you know, at the Open Championship. The infrastructure is just crazy. The fans are awesome, and it's just a really cool week.
Now, Graham, you're the first professional golfer we've ever had on the podcast. Now, I wanted to get into your head here a bit, because when I'm playing golf with some buddies and $10 is on the line, if I sink a putt and I win $10, I'm pooping my pants. So if you know a putt is going to the difference between a $200,000 payday and like an $80,000 payday, how is the poop not running down your leg?
Well, you definitely think about it. Like, I mean, when you're walking up to the green on the 72nd hole and you got what it might be a 6-footer for birdie, you know, especially if you're, you know, in the top 4 or 5 kind of thing, like, you know that it's going to be worth a lot of money. But once you get up there and stand over the putt and go through your routine, you block it out until you see that ball rolling in, and then you're just, you know, like that.
And then it's like cartoons. Like,
that was an extra $100,000, and you get pretty excited about that.
So it's like the cartoons, like dollar signs just in your eyes.
Yeah. So, but I mean, it's when I remember my rookie season, it was hard. Like, I would be in 10th or 15th place, you know, coming down even like on like a Friday afternoon. I was like, man, if I can just hang here and finish 15th, I can make whatever amount of money this week. And then I look back at it now, I'm like, that was Friday. And I was thinking like that. So, I mean, I've matured a lot since then as a player, knowing that, you know, that's not the way to. And then the majority of the time in my rookie season, I ended up finishing like 45th. So it didn't work very well. So I had to figure out how to do it.
That's sort of how we approach our ratings here in America. You know, we're finishing 45th now, and in a few years, we'll be around first or second.
Well, it's all about maturing. That's right. That's it. Well,
I don't know if we're ever going to do that.
We're regressing, though. We're becoming less mature.
Hopefully America catches on.
I'm telling you guys, like, for real, though, I've switched over from ESPN, and I've been watching you guys on there.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Graham. You're a good man. We do appreciate it. Now, we got We don't have it now, but we want to put you on the Canadian Wall of Fame. So is there a picture of you, like, with a mullet, say, like, at Weyburn High? Yeah?
Dairy Queen. I played for Dairy Queen. I can dig that one up. Probably about email it to us.
Oh, that's exactly what we need right there.
Yeah, because now you're, like, you've got the great golf gear. You fit right in there. So we need one where just before all that happened, before you came the superstar.
All right. Well, we'll dig it up. I'm headed up to Canada next month to go visit my family, so I'll see if I can find something good for you guys.
That sounds great, Graham. What's the next few weeks like for you? What are you up to for the next few weeks?
I'm in Vegas next week for the Shriners Hospital Tournament, and then from there I go to Malaysia for a week, and then to Shanghai for a week, and then that's it for me for the year. Head down and just kind of head down to Scottsdale and just kind of hit the gym and relax and do a little bit of practicing and just kind of, more than anything, just kind of have some downtime and get ready to go for the new season, which actually starts, the new PGA Tour season starts this week.
Yeah.
Which is...
you guys have, like, no off season.
I know. There's there's not a whole lot of guys who are happy about that, but that's just the way it is.
Now, Graham, two tips you can leave us with since you travel so much. How to pack perfectly, and if anyone's listening and they're young, they have aspirations to be a professional golfer, one tip you would give them?
Well, I mean, as far as the tip for the kids is to enjoy it. Like, I always loved playing golf, and I still do. I love the competition. I love trying to get better and improving and practicing and going to the gym and all that kind of stuff. And I think that's the main thing, is to enjoy it and love it. And as far as packing, wow. I mean, my wife does a lot of it for me.
Nice.
So you have no tips for that. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, sorry.
That's perfect. That's a great tip. Get your wife to do it. That's a fantastic tip as far as I'm concerned. Listen, enjoy your time over the next few weeks overseas. Enjoy your time in Saskatoon. Make sure you hit Lydia's. Make sure you hit the Jardenflagon. Yes. Make sure you hit the Hosen Hydrant. Go to Amigos. And go to the Crazy Cactus and get a gringo, Graham, if you haven't already.
A gringo at the Crazy Cactus. Yeah, right, I'll do that.
That's Colby Armstrong's bar, and that's well, you might not make it out of there, but make sure you have a cab to get you home.
Right on, guys. Well, thanks for having me on. It was a pleasure, and it's like I said, I'm a fan of you guys, so it's cool.
Graham, this is awesome. Thanks so much.
Take care, buddy.
All right, boys. Bye.
Graham Dillette, PGA superstar, not in waiting anymore. He's a star now.
What I mean, just, you know, that's Saskatchewan in a nutshell. I'm choked up thinking about it. He's such a good guy.
That line of at the KFC. Yeah.
You just thought they were all buffets.
And Brad Wall is the premier of Saskatchewan, if anyone is wondering.
That's right. He's the most popular premier in the country, I think.
Has the podcast...
And by the way, for our American friends, the premier is the governor. The premier is the governor of the...
Has the podcast begun? Sorry for being late. I was getting some suits fitted.
That's okay. This is just one portion of the podcast, which we're going to end, and then we're going to pick it up now.
Oh, okay. Well, that was brilliant.
That was a good interview. Really came through big time. Weyburn KFC.
Can't wait to go to that one day. The Red Wings. The Weyburn Red Wings.
Yeah, Weyburn Red Wings. That's right, at the SJHL. Yeah. Good town.
Engineer Jim. I ate all the chocolate out of your nuts. Sorry.
Anytime.
Seriously, though, the Trader Joe's trail mix, that is...
And there's plenty more of that where that came from.
Yeah. Plenty more chocolate where those nuts came from.
No, it's good stuff.
It is good. Thanks, Jim.
You're welcome. So, Graham was talking about living in Boise, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Boise, Idaho.
So, we played a gig in Boise one time. Life on the road, you never know what you're going to run into.
And this is guns?
No, this is actually with Billy Bob's band.
Oh, Billy Bob's band. Yeah. Nice.
And
what kind of venues would they play, or do they play?
Like House of Blues type, know, clubs and stuff like that. We played a few casinos. We actually played up in Saskatoon.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't there a big casino up there?
There is,
yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but the place was great.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful casino. The people were... Wonderful.
If you play at a casino, don't they put the performers all in suites and stuff? Like, they make it worth their while.
Yeah, they make it pretty nice.
Nah, that's
good. And they were great there. We only did a couple of those. Mainly it was like, you know, small theaters, places like the Wiltern or something like that, right. Or clubs like House of Blues or the Roxy or whatever.
Disney right. has a House of Blues, I couldn't believe. It's very odd.
Anyway. Yeah, it's actually a really good House of Blues down there.
Is it?
Yeah. Yeah, they have a lot of good bands play at that. Okay. Hmm. Anyways, you know, it's all a blur. I can't remember the name of the club in Boise, but really, really cool club. This cool balcony and all this stuff up there. And they had all sorts of barbecue that they had for everybody and stuff. But the cool thing was it was the year that Boise won the Fiesta Bowl where they beat
Oklahoma,
right? And this was just after that that we were up there and doing the gig, and we get a call, hey, the guys from the football team want to come to the show. You want to, you know, is it cool to put them on the list? Yeah, sure. So literally half the team, at least, if not the whole team, I don't know, there was probably 30 or 40 guys from the team showed up backstage hanging out with Billy, signing autographs and all the guys. And the one player that proposed to the cheerleader, yep. Oh, yeah. They were both there and all that stuff. I thought it was kind of cool to actually work on that game here at Fox.
Yeah.
And then meet those people out on tour with the rock band. It was kind of a
they were wise.
Kind of a cool thing to be out there to meet the people, you know.
Yeah, yeah. That was the peak of their stardom. Take advantage of it and get on the guest list at clubs.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And were they partying hard or were they pretty straight laced?
You know, it was I don't really remember what they were doing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was people drinking beers. I couldn't say whether the team was
Weirdest thing. Remember. You must see some just crazy people backstage, like trying anything and everything to get the artist's attention.
Oh yeah, yeah. Especially, you know, back in the days when Guns was touring and stuff like that. It was just ridiculous stuff.
Like girls would be like ripping their tops off just to like, hey, look.
Yeah,
this.
Yeah. At one point, they used to have, you know, like the big Diamond Vision cameras, you know, set up, you know, so when the band's playing, you could see the guys on stage, you know. And before the show, the band would go on so late, you know, they would have the guys with the cameras out there just scanning people in the audience yeah. while, you know, we're playing like AC/DC's Back in Black or whatever, you know, and everyone's right. getting amped for the show. And, you know, girls would just start flashing the cameras up on the big screens, and you know, girls would want to try to outdo one another, and the next thing you know, it would get out of hand, and it was like that every city. It was great. It was like the show before the show, yeah. you know, yeah.
the real and, opening act.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know,
I always want to know if there's a conversation had by. So the boyfriend of the husband's got the girlfriend on the shoulders.
Yeah.
Wonder if she says, okay, I'm going to do it, or if she just does it and he doesn't even have a clue. Or...
Yeah,
well, I think it depends. And I think
it's... And, of course, he's like, yeah, do it.
Show those
I remember I was backstage at, like, a Metallica show at the Meadowlands, you know? And... I was leaving, the band played, and they didn't hang around. They just bolted. So I was like, okay, we're out of here. We're leaving. And we're walking through sort of the tunnels to get out of there. And this guy's standing outside in the parking lot. And he's like, oh, dude, can I have your passes, man? What's up? He goes, oh, man, my girlfriend's back in there, and, you know, and she's with the band, and I can't get back there.
Oh, no.
You know, and it's like, oh man, boy. Just another one of those guys.
Oh, that'd be the worst. That'd be the worst feeling.
There's got to be a name for those guys.
Oh, yeah. Punters.
My girlfriend's back there with the band. That's so when you just bad. Go home. You know? Just go home.
And a lot of those gigs, too, you know, they have this sort of like, you know, the backstage area where, you know, people can go. And then there's like the real backstage area.
Right.
You know?
Where all the girlfriends are and the boyfriends aren't.
The people with the passes and stuff, there's a backstage area where you just get your photo taken with the band when and if they come out.
Right.
But there's the other part where they hang out on the couches and just waddle. Yeah.
Are those the seven worst words that any man could hear? My girlfriend's back there with the band.
I think so.
And the sad thing is the band wasn't even, those guys already left, and the girls are like back there, look, they got to be here someplace,
So some roadie James Hetfield, I'm Lars Ulrich, I totally am the drummer,
But you must have witnessed those deals, the band leaves, but they're like, okay, you guys can come back, there's free booze here, but they must know what they're signing up for if they're coming back to drink the free booze when the band's gone.
I'm sure.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. Well,
Yep.
Good shall time. We?
All right. So after next week, there will be a. I know we've.
Well, we've got it. So we've got this week, then we got next week. We'll have 1 week where we're not here, right?
But they're going to do a best of.
Or are you guys going to do best of?
That's what I was going to set it up. There's a best of, and before you even crack the jokes, you haven't been all long enough to have a best of.
Okay, well, they're not all drunk.
We're just doing it because...
Oh!
Done again. We got to get him on.
So we will have a best of next week, and then we'll be back.
Perfect.
Fresh.
Perfect.
Refreshed.
Well, that works out good. Well, this has been fun, guys. This has been a fun afternoon.
And can't wait to get back up to Canada and enjoy some fall weather.
I can't wait to get back to Canada. The weather, I can handle the weather here.
Yeah, the weather's fine. I have no complaints.
The weather's better than fine. Doolsy's dying now.
I can't breathe up my nose.
Doolsy's suffering. You got some nasal issues.
Jeremy, thank you for the ball cam.
Thanks for the nuts. Engineer Jim, thanks for the stories and the hard work.
Mike, thanks for learning how to read on air.
I hadn't read that before. All right? That was caught up.
That was the other podcast.
I know how to read. Went to college.
I mean, in fairness, he was operating the camera at the same time.
That is a good point.
And the iPad.
And an iPad.
And listening.
And Patrick.
We'll give him another chance. We'll bring a tutor in.
There were more words. There were a lot of words that had more than one syllable.
You know what would
big
be fun?
Words.
You know what would be fun, actually, Jim, is to set up a teleprompter and see if Mike could read off of it.
I've done that before.
And where do we send any lady folk that are interested in
that's a good question. Or where do we send you, like, because they want Mike to come up to Canada.
Well, he should... Get on
I gotta
Twitter
go to the
first.
Brass rail.
They can. I don't want to be an intermediary.
No.
I just want them to go directly to him.
Yeah.
What's your Twitter account?
It's at Micklehouse.
Can you spell that?
M I C. Oh, now I gotta spell too. I gotta read and spell. M I C K E L H O U S E at Micklehouse.
There you go. If you want to contact simple. With him, and then.
Okay. So now Mike's a prostitute. And Patrick.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Thanks for all your hard work this week. Wouldn't be the first time. Were you a prostitute?
I went to college.
Radar.
I don't know. What else would you say?
There's nothing wrong with being a prostitute.
I'm going to play the song again.
World's oldest profession.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Oh,
and we never discussed breaking. Can we get into breaking?
We'll get into Breaking Bad next week.
It was too
it's
long
gonna be,
now.
It's going to be 2 months removed.
Okay, let's do a few minutes on
Breaking
Bad.
Continue with the music, though. Okay, so... Turn it off right now if you haven't seen Breaking Bad. And
it's one of the greatest shows of all time. So if you haven't watched it, we encourage you to watch it. We're not going to spoil it for you. So stop listening now if you want to watch it.
Yes. One of the theories floated by Norm Macdonald was that the last episode, once Walt is in the vehicle and the cops come up behind him. And then he puts his head in his hands, and then he's scrambling to find the keys, and he can't find them. That right after that, it's all a dream.
Yeah.
That the cops have busted him. He's done. It's all over, and he's dreaming of how he wanted to finish everything.
Yeah.
And if you go back and look at it, it actually makes a bit of sense because everything goes his way as soon as the keys fall down into his lap. He hits the window. The snow falls off immediately. The car starts, even though it's covered in snow, in one attempt. So
Yes or no, that would make the finale better for you?
That's a good question.
Yes, because as I said to Jay, when I came in, I'm like, I wanted something big to happen. It all kind of like ended
it was
as
neat.
You would have predicted.
It was a neat ending, which is maybe what you didn't expect. I still think it was a better ending personally than, like, say, Sopranos or The Wire.
I think Sopranos was better.
No, I disagree.
Sopranos was the perfect ending.
Yeah,
because
best ending ever.
Because you're left thinking, and you're always going to be wondering, well, what did happen?
It was
Has there ever been a show that ended with anybody, with people talking about the ending as much?
Sopranos?
Sopranos or this one? Sopranos.
I mean, Lost was up
oh,
there.
Oh, Lost was definitely up there.
That was a there was,
that was gray
area.
I think Sopranos, the ending was the ultimate.
Because a lot of people I heard that I talked to about the ending of Breaking Bad were like, yeah, I liked it. Instead, Sopranos, people had like a strong, very strong opinion.
Very polarizing.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think more people have come around on Sopranos, having seen it and maybe
say
going
that
back to watch it.
Originally, people didn't like that ending.
Yeah, because everyone wants it wrapped up like they wrapped it up in Breaking Bad.
Not necessarily wrapped up, but it was like confusing. Like, wait a minute, what was that? Did my cable, like literally, people thought their cable went out.
Yep.
to Vince Gilligan's defense, he said he watched the Sopranos finale, obviously, and he said that was the perfect ending for that show. And obviously, you can't have each show end with the same scenario. And I think this, to your point, this is really the first show. If it was, they lived throughout and it actually played out the way it was shot, this is the most satisfied as a viewer you could have possibly been.
Yeah.
Satisfied. Not necessarily intrigued, still talking about it, but like tying up loose ends.
I love that Badger made an appearance in the final episode.
Yeah.
He should have his own show because that guy cracks me up.
Yeah, there was a full article actually written by Emily Nussbaum on The New Yorker that basically delves into all of the details of what Norm Macdonald went on about the was he dead or was he not. And it's a hell of a read. But
on Talking Dead, like right after, they basically said, okay, so Walter White's dead.
Yeah. I mean, what else were they going to do? I mean, if you haven't seen that, and then there's also a podcast that Vince Gilligan did, like Inside Breaking Bad,
and
talks about the whole series from day one and some of the other plot lines that they were going to take, but they couldn't because they were that bad, like stuff Walt was going to have done.
Yeah.
So it's.
I think, you know, I was satisfied as a viewer. I agree. I think you said it best, Patrick. You're satisfied as a viewer, but the show is so shocked. You're so used to being shocked on that show, and you just weren't shocked in the finale. So maybe that's why people were a bit let down. But
so
all in all, I still liked it better. And I liked The Wire better as a series, but I still liked it better. I thought The Wire's ending was a little too. Wrap everything up in a bow. Like it was like a montage of different scenes, right? So
one of the best questions is the season opens. The final season opens with Walt back in the house, and you see his house just like torn apart.
Yeah.
Would the final season have been better had you not seen that? Because when he's in New Hampshire, then
no.
You don't know that he comes back. Maybe he dies there.
No, I love that foreshadowing.
Because you're continually guessing how it's going to get to that point.
And going back to him being in the diner, you know, and making the 52 with the bacon, I love that. I love that they laid that out.
What was the bacon shot?
Well, that was like because I think on one of the very first shows, didn't they do that for him? Like he had turned 50?
Oh, okay.
Walt Jr. and his breakfast obsession.
Yeah.
One of the coolest things that Vince Gilligan said, I think it might have been in that Talking Bad, was when he took his watch off and left it on the payphone.
Right.
In like a seemingly random thing.
Yeah.
Well, whenever they shot that scene in the diner that aired in the first episode, somebody realized that Walt wasn't wearing his watch that Jesse had given him. So they had to find a way to get rid of the watch. So he did it as a symbolic thing, like I'm leaving behind this gift that Jesse gave me, when in reality they just screwed up the continuity and forgot to have the watch on.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Glad they caught that.
They did a good job.
Yeah.
I thought it was intense when people found out that Hannah Montana was actually Miley Cyrus. That was heavy.
So I went to watch Miley Cyrus's SNL appearance, and it didn't record. So I'm not going to get
the socks. 50 Shades of Grey skit was great.
It was a pretty good app.
It sucks it's not available
anywhere
else.
Did you watch it, Jim?
Yeah.
I
did. It was good.
I thought she was pretty good.
Yeah, she was.
She pulled it off.
I feel like the whole thing is probably on the internet.
Yeah, Toolsy, you can find it.
Maybe not on your phone.
Oh, you can
actually.
That's the problem, Toolsy.
Same thing happened to me, so I did go online to watch it.
Why didn't they record? Well, was that on a different time or something?
Maybe. Yeah.
So what are you guys going to watch
now? The Wrecking Ball video that they...
Oh, are you guys going to watch Low Winter Sun?
Yeah. the Low Winter Sun reference on Fox Sports Live the other night was very well received on the internet.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, very nice. I feel bad for those guys.
Yeah, it's just
Whoever's
not working out for them.
That show.
It's going to be huge, guys.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay. We got to get out of here before. We have a show in 2 hours.
Yeah.
We haven't written a thing.
Well, you're just figuring that out.
I just looked at the time. Producer Tim is carton deep. He's a carton deep.
Surprised he didn't come in here.
Oh, I think we're doing
good.
Break
the door down.
Well, we'll get it written. We'll just do a bunch of Low Winter Sun references.
Mail it in Tuesday.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in a few weeks.
See you in a couple of weeks, everybody. Oh.